How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. I'm tired today. Busy night last night, huh? That was a pay-per-view. I don't know if you guys know about this. Show called All Out, live from the Now Arena in Chicago. You know what? Fantastic show. A lot of stuff I loved. A lot of stuff, not my style. But we're going to talk about it. It was interesting. You know, this is a company in a very important period in the history of the company. A lot of moving parts here. We're going to get into it. I made a post on Friday afternoon of eating crow to the detractors out there. We'll talk about that also because there's an interesting part. Tony revealed some things but didn't reveal a lot. Maybe told a fib during the scrum. We'll see what happens there. But All Out Fallout is the theme of the show today. Man, that women's street fight, we'll talk about that. What a fantastic match. The betrayal of Bryan Danielson by the BCC. I was surprised by that, actually. I didn't think that was happening. Wheeler Yuta plays a big part in this. What happens with him? Where does he align? That lights out match, ultra violent. It's not necessarily my style of wrestling, but in a blow off feud of this hatred these two have for each other, it was pretty appropriate. Also, a preview to all the wrestling coming up this week. We'll run down the card. I want to know what you guys think. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. What was your favorite part? What part did you not like? Because it was very polarizing, that main event. While it was going on, a lot of conversations were happening, whether or not, you know, did people like it? Was it necessary? Was it too much? I think everything is, it's all a fair point here. Everybody had a very good point with that. When we come back, we're going to go right into the show. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live back on Sports Byline. Let's go into this. AEW All Out. You know, it's almost like we had a pay-per-view 2 weeks ago, didn't we? Oh, yeah, we did. We did have a pay-per-view 2 weeks ago. Now we got another one. Tony said that the pre-sales for this were really good. I think a lot of it has to do with the momentum right now that they're feeling. Not necessarily seeing it on TV, but feeling. And that matters, too. Let's go into the Zero Hour. The Acclaimed defeated the Iron Savages, Boulder and Bronson, with Jacked Jameson. They came out. We also got a cameo. Do you know who was there, MG? Or my producer here? Do you know who showed up in this match?
I had no clue who that was.
The Costco guys. They gave it a boom. RJ City was fed up with those guys. He was enough with the booms. Okay? For people who don't know who they are, because a lot of people don't, they are TikTok celebrities. AJ was a former pro wrestler out of New Jersey. Big Justice is his son. And they go to Costco, and they do this whole Costco thing. They're the Costco guys. Remember that a couple months ago? We're the this guys. Of course we do this. We're the that guys. My question, where the hell was the Rizzler? That's who I want to see. MG has no clue what I'm talking about. 90% of my audience has no clue what I'm talking about. I want the Rizzler in AEW. I want the Rizzler in that main event. That's what I want to see. Ring of Honor, obviously Acclaimed won this. We got an ROH championship match. Champion Sammy Guevara. I'm sorry. my vision has deceived me. Ring of Honor tag team champions, Dustin Rhodes, Sammy Guevara, and Hologram defeated the Premier Athletes. You know, Dustin is interesting now, you know, like he has a double championship. There's a reason why he's in Ring of Honor. There's a little bit of a push for Ring of Honor talent, kind of, you know, Sammy Guevara's there now. They're doing something here. I'm curious what it is. If they're evolving Ring of Honor a little bit, does Ring of Honor turn into a show with this new TV deal that's coming up? There's some emphasis now on this. We also got the Bang Bang Gang. Juice Robinson, Austin, and Colton Gunn defeated the Dark Order, which was Evil Uno, Alex Reynolds, and John Silver. Just a nice display match, you know, Zero Hour.
Most of these were just to get people going. Yeah,
just to get them going.
Fired up.
We also got Tony Schiavone welcoming Sky Blue to the stage. So she was in a cast, and it's her hometown, obviously, hometown favorite. She came out. You know, she got injured a while ago.
It was a third-year anniversary of her debut, because remember, she debuted on the Rampage show the week we were there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and, you know, she has a following. She definitely does. She started to say that she might be out for a little while longer, and then she was interrupted by Mariah May and got beat up. Mariah says she's not doing her championship celebration in Chicago, and then attacked Sky Blue. Okay. I guess they're setting it up. Maybe she's okay. Queen Aminata came out for the save. Yeah. So I guess they're setting up something with Sky Blue. Maybe they're elevating Queen Aminata a little bit. I'm sure that's going to be a match on this week's
I really like
shows.
It. I do.
Who, Queen
really
Aminata?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she from the time that she debuted to now, that she has made these tweaks to her that come off really good on TV. We also got Undisputed Kingdom, Roderick Strong, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, defeating Shane Taylor, Lee Moriarty, and the Beast Mortos in Action Andretti and Top Flight. Big match.
There was a spot in this match that I shook my head, where Layla Gray is sitting on the apron and she's doing the airplane runway thing with the little lights, and I was like, okay, I don't know if I like that or not, but whatever.
We now, you know, the 0 hour, it is what it is, you know, like it's to build, it's to get people on the show. You know, people want to be presented on the pay-per-view, and it's interesting because you have guys like the Acclaimed that can main event a TV show, were tag team champions, were on the pay-per-view, and now they're on 0 hour, and it's not really a downgrade.
No. Good way to put it.
It doesn't feel like a downgrade that they're on a pre-show. It's just like, okay, you know what? There was no room on this card. So this is how we're doing it. You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches. I'm being messaged right now while we're doing the show, and people are giving me
4 matches in a segment.
In a segment, yes, in a segment. 4 matches in a segment. Let's go into the main card here. Start off with MJF and Daniel Garcia. Before the match, they both were emphasizing that they want to break each other's necks. They beat the crap out of each other. Daniel Garcia is a guy that needs wins on TV. I say this a lot about a few people here. They have some talent that people could get behind, but they keep losing and losing and losing. You know, like Takeshita, up until now, he did well in the G1. He's coming back fresh. He was in that match. They're continuing that program, I'm sure, with Okada. But he's a guy that has been on TV for a while. He came in really hot because he's impressive looking, which we'll talk about a little bit more. But he loses all the time. Daniel Garcia, he has a following. He loses all the time. The story was, it ended with a low blow from MJF. After the match, Garcia was able to hit a pile driver from the second rope, which he had intended on doing the whole show.
He tried it during the match, and he finally got it.
And he finally
got it.
So real quick. Yeah.
So real quick, you talk about him not getting wins. Oh, I got an alarm going off. You talk about him not getting wins. I thought that's elevated him with that ending, the way they ended this. I felt like he lost the match, but I felt like he got a leg up on MJF and elevated himself that way.
I guess so. I get why they did it. Does it matter? Does it not matter? Does a presentation matter? You know, it's not like a perfect science here. You don't have to win every match to go over, and you don't have to lose every match to become a loser. I get what they did, why they did it. But I want to see him, you know, maybe he should have been facing somebody else on pay-per-view and getting a win before Max and losing. You know, like that's only me. That's my position, because I think there's something special about Daniel Garcia, and obviously they see it too.
You know what I think? I think they're going to run this back at Grand Slam. I think that's where they'll end up doing the blow-off of this.
They could.
I mean, does that make sense? Makes sense to me. It seems like there needs
and
to be
Garcia
match.
Wins. Well, Max
Garcia
is going to lose in New York.
Goes over. Hey, Heat.
You know, Max loses now in New York, the hometown. I mean, that's silly too. You could do something. We'll see. Next match was the Young Bucks. They defeated Claudio and Wheeler Yuta to retain the AEW tag titles. This likely played into what happened later, which was interesting. Did you like this match?
You know what? Honestly, I liked the story. I was hoping that Yuta and Claudio would win. But this is one of those matches you could have took off the show, to be honest with you.
I get why they did it, but it didn't really resonate. Actually, if you really look at this card, because the card was a really big card, would this be the worst match on the main?
Not the worst. It just was there. You know, it wasn't bad at all. These guys are all work.
Yeah, they're
Claudio
all great.
Claudio was a stud in this thing.
Yeah.
Absolute monster. But, yeah.
I think because everything had this aggressive feud feel to it, this didn't have that feel. This felt like a normal match. And I think that was the only difference here. When you look at this entire main card, these are blood feuds. Top to bottom. Something big happened. And this is the only one that something big did not happen in.
But it set up something.
It set up something, absolutely. Wrestling Observer live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer live here on Sports Byline. Covering All Out from last night. I love a Saturday pay-per-view. You know why? I get to talk about it on Sunday. Normally what's happening is I'm rushing through the show. And I'm doing a preview. And by the time you guys hear this, the show is happening. So I like when I was able to watch and think about what I'm going to talk about and have these detailed notes provided to me by my producer with a lot of misspellings. Let's go into it. I wouldn't like it any other way. Will Ospreay. Now, this was fascinating. Will Ospreay defeated Pac to retain the AEW International title. This was, I would say this was the best Pac match I've ever seen. Obviously, we know Ospreay's fantastic. He's had these amazing matches. Pac is remarkable, unbelievable. These two connected so well. And, you know, their styles work. Their styles really work. They're very similar. And, you know, the story was who's the better guy here. And it was a real competitive match. You wrote down, this might be match of the year. I got to think about that. It was fantastic.
They just kept going. And when I didn't think they could turn it up a little more, they did. There were certain spots in there. There was a Poison Rana German suplex sequence on the apron.
Yeah, the Poison Rana on this. Like, that was brutal.
I was just like cringing the entire time. I did a lot of cringing last night.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Well, you know, they everybody worked hard, right? I think everybody realizes how important this is for these shows to be at this level, especially now. You know, you want everybody to go home happy. That old AEW, I mean, we were at All Out 2021, and that is probably the best pay-per-view or possibly the best show I've been to as a complete package. And I've been to many pay-per-views. I've been to WrestleManias. I've been to NXTs. The feel of that building, you know, it was something very special. And they've been chasing that again. For years, they've been chasing that. You know, obviously, it's quite difficult when you have a guy like CM Punk debuting in a match. It's quite difficult when Bryan Danielson is debuting. It's quite difficult when you have Adam Cole showing up. You know, they didn't have any of that here, but they have all the pieces now to put together a fantastic show. Will Ospreay Pac, great show, great match. They did a weird backstage segment. Did you catch that with Ricochet?
The one with Ricochet?
Okay.
Yeah, where he was watching the match.
Ricochet was watching the match, okay? So they interview Ospreay after the match.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like the Then you guys tell me if you caught this too. It was almost like they were both of them are cutting two separate promos, and they never updated the new promo. Will Ospreay's talking about, like, why are you being such a jerk, you know? Like, essentially, like, turning on Ricochet. Ricochet didn't say anything to make him get aggressive with him, right?
And, yeah, and then he changed, and he started just getting aggressive. It was,
and then
yeah,
he started
right,
getting aggressive.
Awkward.
It was very awkward. Like, and they were smiling. I don't know if it was written. I don't know if the whole thing was ad-libbed.
I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek. It was like they were...
I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek.
They were trolling us, right? It just felt that way.
Like, you know, they were like, oh, why you're talking all this S? And he's like, I am talking, but you weren't. You showed up last week. You guys right. stared at each other. Ospreay gets hit with a poison Rana. And then he's just sitting in the back and watching the match. And then he came over. I found that to be awkward. I mean, obviously, we know that they're going into this. Maybe that'll be the match at Grand Slam. Maybe that's the next pay-per-view. Man, that'll be fantastic, that match. Maybe they'll do that spot again. I think they got to do that spot all over again.
Oh, the Superman spot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that spot killed the business. Remember that?
Yes.
That was the moment, guys. That was the moment that killed the professional
wrestling
industry.
What we're
doing
right now is completely fake.
This is a figment of your imagination.
We aren't really doing this, right?
Yeah.
Because the business is gone.
The business is over. That killed it. That small move in New Japan. Was it New Japan? I think it was, right?
They ran it back a couple of times. They did it in, I think they did it like WrestleMania weekend, a couple of the indie shows, maybe ROH.
I think it was
an ROH show, actually.
Was it? Mm. I could have sworn
They did it more than once. And they did it in New Japan, and they did it in the States.
Yeah.
I think in one of those WrestleMania weekend shows.
You know what's amazing? Prince Puma and what was his name in Lucha Underground? Killshot? Killshot. It is interesting how like the remnants of Lucha Underground is still happening.
Yeah, so a lot of people that are there now.
Yeah,
we're there. We're part of that.
Penta, you know, just I think Lucha Guevara. Underground. Lucha Underground is a forgotten promotion. It came out a little too early. I think it was like a year too early. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I mean, the spooky stuff was fascinating. It was done well. It was created as a TV show. I think a lot of people did not see it because of distribution issues, but fascinating promotion at a really weird time in wrestling. Fascinating.
Right on.
Let's see. What do we have next? Oh, Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale in a Chicago street fight. This was fantastic. This really was good. The story was that they hate each other.
I was shaking my head. Yeah, so,
Hathaway was outside too.
How are they going to follow up that match that just happened? And
well,
they managed to get it.
They did. They managed. I mean, they were in a tough spot. They were in a really tough spot. You had the MJF match, Daniel Garcia. That was a really good match. Went into the Young Bucks Claudio match. That was fine. It was fine. It was a good match. And then it went into overdrive with Will Ospreay and Pac. So this should have been the cool down. It was not.
But it wasn't. No.
It was not a cool down. The crowd was so into this. They were essentially asked to follow the best match of the night. And possibly, arguably, match of the year for that company. In many people's opinions. You know, I don't like doing that. Because it's subjective. You know, depending on what you like. Depending on the talent that you're into. Depending on... It's all subjective, guys. It doesn't really matter. They put on a fantastic street fight. Totally blew the expectation that I had for this match out of the water. Not that I had a bad expectation, but they did everything you could imagine. Statlander at one point would powerbomb Willow through the Spanish announce table, but that table was high. Did you notice that? That
yes.
was a really high table, and she had to
and
really...
And it just kind of dropped.
And it just... The whole thing just went... very good stuff. Willow Nightingale. What did you write here? With tap?
She tapped. She tapped when
I'm like, with tape? I don't think there was a tape spot. There was a fluorescent tube spot. There was a fluorescent tube spot in this match. Will the Nightingale tap?
Which totally caught me off guard. I don't know about you. I was like, where'd that come from? I don't remember. Maybe they have had light tubes in AEW, but I don't know.
Yeah, they have. No, they've done it a couple times. They did it during the they did it during the Jericho and Cutter spot. They did it during the Jericho match, and I think they did it during one of those hardcore women's matches that they did during the pandemic. Okay. Wasn't there broken glass everywhere?
Possibly one of those. Yeah.
I don't know. The pandemic era, my brain is kind of mushed from that time frame of wrestling. All I see, if I think about that era, all I see is screens of people's faces that I don't want to see. That was an insane concept that they did. That Thunderdome? That was wacky. Yes. Really wacky.
Why'd you have to bring it up, Andrew?
Yeah.
Move on.
I know. You know what? I can't go back and watch any of that. Have you ever been able to?
No.
Even those AEW shows from that era. You know, it is something to be said. Like, that will be a forgotten wrestling era. You know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, people are going to go back. Yeah, at least they tried. And they had an open-air building, too, which was a positive. But, I mean, to go back, I mean, they're going to tell stories like, oh, yeah, these guys wrestled for, like, months and months, almost a year, with no audience, just... No audience, no. It was basically a stage show.
Basically a stage.
That was a really good match. They both worked very hard. Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander. Two Long Island girls. Got to give them support. Love it. Okada. Takeshita. Mark Briscoe. Orange Cassidy. Continental title. Mark Briscoe was bleeding really early on in this match. What was the spot? I kind of missed it. What made him start bleeding from the side of his head like that? It was continuing to bleed throughout the entire match.
Full disclosure, this was the match I got up to do some stuff.
Okay.
So I didn't catch a lot of this, so my apologies.
I thought this was fantastic. I think the story here is Okada and Takeshita. They're going to continue this feud. Briscoe did a great job. Orange Cassidy did a great job. They teased, Okada and Takeshita early on touching, and they got interrupted a few times. I really like this match. I want to see more of Okada, the Okada that we know. I think Takeshita is a great opponent for him. I hope they could do something more with him. Just great size, great presence. Both of them, Okada and Takeshita. They're big guys. Use them. Use him in that capacity. You don't get a chance with guys like this. You know, super hyper-talented, good size, good body, good look. When we come back, we're going to continue this. Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. My timeline is filled with dopey comments. Not from me. From the doubters. They doubt my report that Tony Khan signed the deal, or the deal is done, I should say. Or he did sign the deal. I don't know. We'll talk about it. let's go into it. Mercedes Moné defeated Cheetah to retain the TBS title. The story was that Mercedes could win without the help of Camille. It was a good match until the ending. That finisher, I'm not crazy about that. It takes a while to set up, right? And sometimes it's nailed really well. Like, sometimes it looks really good, but most of the time, it's a hard move to look good. If the camera's not perfectly positioned either, it really can make it look disastrous. You don't like that finish, right, MG?
When she first did it, I was, well, this is different. And because I think it was supposed to be a version of a DDT, but it doesn't come off like that. It's almost like she just throws her aside and she just plops him down on the ground. And it doesn't look like it hurts. And I'm sorry, but I can't buy that as a finish if it doesn't look like it hurts. So
yeah.
And it does take. And I think that led to that clunky finish because they were trying to set it up and she couldn't get her arm hooked at first. And yeah, it just needs to be more refined, you know, on how you go into a finish.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would say modify it a little bit and do something else. I thought this was fine. I like Sheeta a lot. This is just another win for Mercedes until she has a spoil. And I don't know who that spoil for her is going to be. It wasn't Britt Baker. It wasn't Sheeta. Who's next?
It's an interesting question because I'm trying to rack my brain. You know, maybe like a Tay Conte coming back? Someone like that, maybe?
I don't know. I don't think. Mm-hmm. I don't think. With Ty Gabara.
I mean, they're going to put people in. They're going to put people in front of her, I think, is what they're going to do.
And I think that's fine. So. But who's going to be the spoil in the end? Maybe it is Camille. Maybe she turns. I don't know. We'll see. I want to see more of her because she's fantastic. AEW World Champion. So this was the main event of the show, technically.
Correct.
Bryan Danielson defeated TNT champion Jack Perry to retain the AEW World title. This was a great match. Kudos to Jack Perry. He made everything look great. Bryan Danielson is fantastic. He took one of the best running knees I have seen. He ate that and died.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice match. And a lot of people are thinking, why is this the match? Why is this the match? Why are we doing this? Well, we got the answer, right? We saw what happened here. After the match, Killswitch comes out. They tease that Christian is about to cash in on that contract. Christian comes out.
There was a cool
with the Waynes
moment there where Killshot or Killswitch. Killswitch. I always talk about Killshot. Now it's on my brain. Killswitch looked at Jack Perry, and Jack Perry's like, "Are we really doing this again?" Because remember, they had that big blow-off feud.
They had a big blow-off, but they were also tag partners for a long time. I do like how Jack Perry is no longer Jungle Boy and Killswitch is no longer Luchasaurus. It does show that they evolved them properly.
Yeah.
And I do like that a lot. I do like how they've evolved them into different people. So they come out. Christian comes out with the Waynes. And as they're about to enter the ring, Moxley stops them. All of Blackpool Combat Club comes out to protect Danielson. They leave. They're celebrating in the ring. They hold up Danielson's hands. Everybody's happy. They give a big hug with Moxley. And out of nowhere, Claudio hits Danielson with an uppercut. And hits that uppercut. And Danielson falls on his butt. And he's like, "What the hell's going on? What are you doing?" And you see,
and he was smirking like, "Is this it? Are they turning on me?
And are you turning on me?" And Moxley with the plastic bag, similar to what Funk did with Flair, right over Danielson's head. There's a beatdown happening. He's suffocating him. Yuta's being held back. Yuta's being held back. There was a "This is murder" chant. Yuta's being held back. He's crying. It felt like a sanctioned mob hit.
Where one guy in the group didn't agree with it. He understood it, but he didn't agree with it. That's where I got out of that.
The Blackpool Combat Club is done. We'll it's over.
As we know it, in that form.
I don't think they're going to be called the Blackpool Combat Club anymore. No, they have to be called. Listen, it was called that because of William Regal. So... You know,
Marina Shafir is in the group too.
Marina's in it too, and maybe someone else. I'm still wondering what happened with Mox when he yelled at Tony Schiavone and said, "This is not your company anymore."
This is it. I think we're seeing it all play out now.
Whose company is it?
Well, apparently it's theirs now.
Who authorized this hit on Danielson?
You really want it to be.
Danielson's last opponent in this company as a full-time wrestler needs to be Shane McMahon. That needs.
I'm going to save the audience listening to this.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Phone.
No, no, no. The audience, is all for this. You don't know anything. Can I teach you about professional wrestling for a second? The audience, that's all they want to see. That's all I'm getting. I'm getting letters written to me from people in Portland. People in Portland, people all over the country are writing me handwritten letters saying, I want the final match to be Shane McMahon versus Bryan Danielson for the AEW World Championship. That's what everybody wants.
I can't help you. I can't help us people. He's a menace today.
I'm telling you. No, no, no. Everybody agrees with that. Come on. We all know that. I'm very curious to see where this goes. I mean, listen, Mox would be a great final opponent for Danielson, and you could put the title on Mox, and he's a great ambassador for that title. He's a recognizable name, you know, going into this new TV deal. That was the final match. And then we got Hangman Page, Swerve Strickland in a lights out steel cage match. So I rewatched this right before we went on the air because my initial feeling to this was, this is a blood feud. This is the blow off. This is the final one. Hangman is so good.
Yes.
Swerve is so good. The both of these guys have been married in this feud. And when you have guys that have the chemistry that they do, anything they do works. I will say this. This is not my style of wrestling. Okay? It never was. I know you think like, oh, Andrew, that's pretty funny. You got an ECW LED sign that you paid couple hundred bucks for. Yeah. Listen, you see, I was a teenager when that thing was going on. I'm 40 years old now. I like a very different style. However, this was a fantastic match. And it made sense in the storytelling. It made sense. Because they are hating. They hate each other. He set his freaking house on fire. He broke into his house. He bled in his mouth at the last show. The last match that they had, he hung Hangman. Remember that? He hung him.
Yep. That's how he won the match, right?
That's how he won. And this all culminated right here. The match started with the cage still in the air. They were essentially trying to decapitate each other. There was a cinder block bump, yeah. Two of them. Both of them bumped on the cinder block. There were staples in them.
That was the first cringe moment, by the way. When Swerve bumped on that cinder block, I was like, how is his back even working?
You know, they took this to, you know, that last match that they had, that big one, that was pretty violent. This was ultra violent.
Just went to another level, yes.
Totally different level. You know, they did the cinder block spots. The refs, so at one point, the chair shots, you know, that main one that he took, you know, unprotected, you know, they flipped the camera. They switched it really quick. You could tell that the chair was loosened. I mean, they did it the right way. Right. And Hangman was hitting him with that chair. But did you notice how he was hitting him with the corner of the chair and kind of protecting it?
Yes.
Like holding the chair, like holding it together because they knew it was going to collapse. Right. To pull the curtain back a little bit. So that wasn't the most, I mean, it looked nasty for sure. And that's the whole visual, right? Don't get hurt, but make it look terrible.
I think the brutal part is what you're about to say next.
So Hangman, you know, the Swerve is essentially, he's done, right? He's just on wobbled legs. He doesn't know where he is. You know,
he took his grill out, which I took that as a sign they're stripping that character away.
So like he took his grill out. And you could see, actually, he was kind of playing with it when he was on the ground. And I was like, oh, I thought he put, like, something in his mouth. But no, he was loose. I guess, I don't know. I don't have a grill. I've never worn one.
Right.
I don't know how you lock it in or take it off. I have no idea. So, you know what? I should get a grill. How about that? Should I commission a grill? Totally go off the wall? And just speak about Shane McMahon returning? He got a hypodermic needle. And he jabbed it in his cheek while it's in his mouth. He hit him with the most brutal chair shot, and the ref called the show.
Wild.
This was a wild ending. So a few notes from this. There were three matches where people bled, beginning, middle, and end.
Actually, four. I forgot about Briscoe.
Yes. Yeah, Briscoe was bled. There were four spots where there was blood. Renee was not involved in most of the post-show. Said she was dealing with things. Is Renee going to be involved in this angle?
When her best friends and her husband in a feud.
Yeah.
where he tried to suffocate him.
Post show media call, media scrum. Tony said there's a 90% chance AEW's rights deal is announced in the next month. Notice how he said not, you know, he did say that it's not signed. Okay. I'm not going to say Tony is lying. But I'm not going to say he is lying. I'm not going to say he's lying. I'm not going to say he's not lying. I know where this deal is at this point. And it's all very positive. If you go on my Twitter, you can see what I've written about it. You can see what I've responded to people about it. I'm not straying away by what I said. There's also a very significant element here, which we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, of a trademark AEW Shockwave. And I think that is going to be the interesting part of this new TV rights deal for this company between Warner Media and maybe someplace else. When we come back, I'll touch on this for a few minutes in our final segment. Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Couple notes here. As I said, I am very, very confident that the AEW deal is finished. It is done. It is maybe signed, but not sealed and delivered. Listen, here's the reality. It's done, okay? It's done. The deal is done. They need, when you announce something like this, you need corporate synergy with your brand partners. There may be one partner that it is not done with, and I'm going to leave you with that cliffhanger, with the Shockwave stuff. I've heard very interesting stuff about this. I had a conversation with somebody that is in ad sales, and we were talking about inventory, advertising inventory, and how it works. And, you know, there are networks that are very hungry for wrestling, especially networks that have had wrestling in the past that may not have it anymore. And when you build the relationship with your clients, you could actually see, like for Fox, for example, WWE was very successful, but the amount that they were paying WWE for SmackDown was not correlating with the ad rate that they had, and they couldn't get more. It's a very niche product, so you got to have enthusiastic advertisers to advertise. They had a lot of those, and that would be a waste of inventory if they can't pivot something with that, right? That would be a really waste of money. I think a lot of people see things like that. I'm going to just leave you with that, okay? I'm going to leave you with that thought. However, there was never any doubt that AEW would re-sign. And now we're here. I'm imagining they're going to, you know, get everything aligned with the network partners and announce it on that 500 show. The 5-year anniversary, right? So we'll see. October 12th is the 500th show or the 5th-year anniversary, whatever. Is it 500? No, it's 5th year. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm out of time. Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. See you next week.